Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins.
Spock. Please, Captain. Not in front of the Klingons.
That is the voice of Leonard Nimoy, best known for playing Mr. Spock in the original Star Trek series. Leonard Nimoy died this morning at the age of 83 at his home in Los Angeles. But Nimoy's first home was Boston, specifically Boston's West End, an area between Beacon Hill and North Station. It's a place now dominated by huge hospital buildings, residential towers, and parking lots. But Nimoy always remembered it as a tight working-class neighborhood that existed before the urban renewal craze of the 1950s that leveled the area. He spoke with Radio Boston alum Adam Ragusa in 2012 when Nimoy was in town to get an honorary doctorate from Boston University, and he delivered the convocation address for the College of Fine Arts. Adam Ragusa attended that speech with the goal of documenting everything that Nimoy still remembered about his long-demolished boyhood home.
If there was ever a time when Leonard Nimoy bristled at being known for his most famous role, the actor turned director turned gallery photographer has gotten over it.
Thank you very much.
He just flashed them a Vulcan salute.
President Brown sent me a letter inviting me to do this, and my yes came back so fast, I think he felt like he'd been stunned by a phaser.
Star Trek nerdery aside, Nimoy clearly couldn't wait to reflect on his youth in Boston, both in his remarks to the graduates and in his dressing room afterwards, when I hit him up for more details.
I grew up in this great city, surrounded by academia, the arts. The neighborhood was called the West End, a tenement area populated by immigrants, approximately 65% Italian, 30% Jews, living side by side, and identifiable by the smell of the cooking as you walked up the stairs.
You were of Jewish parents. You were raised Jewish. Was it all Jewish around you where you lived immediately in your area of the neighborhood?
It was very mixed. Very mixed. Italians and Jews in the same building. We had neighbors named Santo Suoso and Spinali and Rabinowitz and Cohen, the Italian iceman who delivered blocks of ice before we had a refrigerator, learned enough Yiddish to talk to his Jewish customers who had not yet managed the English language.
Was there any tension?
Not that I was aware of, not in my immediate vicinity. There may have been in other areas, in other pockets, but in my immediate area, there really was not, in spite of the fact that we were in a very Catholic environment, and the St. Joseph's Church was diagonally across the street from us, maybe 30 yards away. And on the other hand, we were two doors away from an Orthodox synagogue. So we were really cheek and jowl to each other and had to get along, and we did. 65 years ago, I saw Ted Williams hit home runs at Fenway Park. I learned at the sale on the Charles River. I sold newspapers at the corner of Boylston and Arlington, in front of the Arlington Street Church, in the winter. From where I lived, it was a 10-minute walk to Boston Garden, where I watched the Celtics, the Bruins, and the Ringling Brothers Circus.
Do you remember the street that you grew up on?
Yeah, it was Chambers Street, 87 Chambers Street, exactly, which was directly across the street from the Peter Faneuil School. So in the first three grades of school, I walked across the street and walked into the schoolhouse. My brother did the same thing four and a half years ahead of me.
What did the street look like?
Three and four-story brick buildings attached, walk-up buildings. There was one building, five or six buildings away from us, that had an elevator, and it was known as the building with the elevator. I first stepped on stage when I was 8 years old at 357 Charles Street, the Elizabeth Peabody Playhouse. The playhouse is gone now, but for years you could see a sign on the spot which said, if you lived here, you'd be home now. It was a community settlement house which was created to help immigrants find their way into the culture. They offered classes in language, cooking, shopping, kitchen sanitation, dental care, and how to apply for a job. There was a gym and a sports program, and there was a small gem of a theater.
It was described during the urban renewal period when it was raised as a slum. Do you remember it as a slum?
No, not really. There were some areas of it that were tired, but I would never call it a slum. I think that description was useful to people who wanted to tear it down and develop the area, but I don't think it was fair or accurate. When I was 17, I was cast in the role of a teenager in a play called Awake and Sing. Around this time, I had a welcome bit of affirmation. I was seen by a Jesuit priest who ran the theater program at Boston College. He offered me a scholarship for an 8-week summer theater program, and I grabbed at it. It was classes every morning, rehearsals in the afternoon, and performances at night, after which we would help build the sets for the next week's production, and often fall asleep on the stage and start the whole thing all over again in the morning. And I loved it. And I was totally comfortable, this Jewish kid from a Yiddish-speaking family at a Jesuit school, being blessed daily with Our Fathers and Hail Marys. And I will always be grateful to Father John Bond.
I read that your father was a barber in Mattapan?
He was a barber in the West End.
Oh, in the West End.
Until it was torn down. And then he moved out to Dorchester, Mattapan, and had a shop on Blue Hill Avenue near Morton Street. But for many years, he was on Leverett Street in the West End.
So your parents continued to live there up until the point where it was torn down?
It was torn down. Yeah, they refused to leave until they had to vacate the building that was being torn down around them.
What was that like for them?
It was very disrupting. They were very careful, low-profile people, very quiet people, had come from a tough life in Russia where they had been subjected to oppression. And for them, living a quiet, peaceful life was very important. And it changed. Any major change was frightening. And they knew they were safe and peaceful in the West End, so they wanted to stay there as long as they could.
The legacy of the urban renewal era is, I think it's safe to say, mixed at best, at mm-hmm. least in this city. I wonder, do you see any benefit when you look at the neighborhood now, or do you look back at that with regret?
I'm limited to my emotional connection. I wish I could go back to my roots. I can't. They're gone. The buildings are all torn down. I try walking with my wife to show her where I lived, and it's so difficult because the street configuration has changed so much that I feel it's gone. I feel my roots are gone. I'm still emotionally connected to what it was when I was living there and when I left Boston, which was 1949. I was 18 years old and left the West End.
The last job that I had before leaving Boston, I was selling vacuum cleaners on Boylston Street. The money I made went to pay tuition at a theatrical school in California. Don't ask me why I didn't go to New York. I still don't know. Life unfolds. I got on a train at South Station. I spent 3 days and 3 nights in a coach seat, and I was excited. I knew without a doubt what I wanted to do, and I believed that I had something to give.
I came back a couple times to visit periodically, and maybe a handful of times, but I remember vividly the streets, the people, the activities, and the greater Boston experience. I remember being able to walk to the Charles River, walk to the Peabody Playhouse where I started acting, walk to Scholarly Square and get a Joe Nemo's hot dog for a nickel or 8 cents, whatever it was at the time.
Another place that's gone.
Yeah, that's right. Walk downtown. I used to work for a cousin who had a greeting card shop on Bromfield Street. I used to work for him in the afternoons after school and then walk home from there through the Boston Common, up through the State House, down into the West End, or over Joy Street into the West End. Those are the things that I remember. I don't even have a good picture of what it's like within the geographically. The area now is so different. It's just, to me, is so difficult to relate to it.
As a kid, we walked the Boston Commons and the public gardens, and I was intrigued by the inscription on a fountain there. It's from Ecclesiastes. It says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." Not long ago, I tweeted that. And what came back was, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, and you'll get soggy bread." Well, I reject cynicism. I reject it. To me, that inscription means what goes around comes around.
Well, I want to thank you very much for sharing those memories with me.
You're welcome.
Congratulations on your honorary doctorate from Boston University.
Thank you.
And, of course, I cannot leave without saying to you, in all sincerity, live long and prosper.
Leonard Nimoy delivering the convocation address to Boston University's College of Fine Arts and speaking as well to Radio Boston alum Adam Ragusa in 2012. Nimoy died this morning at the age of 83. Goodbye to a loyal Bostonian. Stay with us. Coming up in this winter of great snow, we'll talk about some great winter lit. I'm Lisa Mullins. This is Radio Boston.